Who's ready for bed? How many young ones are ready for bed? We're not that so far different or apart. I have no idea how to work this thing. I don't know. Can you hear me? Hear me? I can also do a handheld if this doesn't. All right. Here we go. Is that? Can you hear me? Perfect. All right. Very good. Look at that. I'll just hold it. Just like this.
We might just do a handout
again. That's right. It is an honor to be here with you all tonight. As Chris mentioned earlier, my name is Ryan Harrison. And my family is here with us this evening. It's great to be with you. It's been fun to be with some of the crowd at Finland Mennonite over the last, I don't know, 3-4 months at different occasions. So for some of you I've met, others of you and many of you I have not. So I hope to get to know you a little bit better over the course of the next couple days, as well as I hope you get to know my family a little bit better over the next couple days as well. You could probably say a lot about what we do. My wife and I lead a nonprofit organization called Forge America, and there's a lot of other things that we do as well, but if I could say anything about who we are as people, for you to begin to get to know a little bit about us, I would say that deep down, our family longs to join God in His mission. In our neighborhood in New York City. So we did drive here from New York City, and many of you hear probably the word or the town or the city, New York City, and for some of you, you may think the Empire State Building. Anybody think that, kiddos? Some of you? We do not live there, I promise. Others of you may think Times Square. I think when our family first moved to New York City, I think my mother thought we were living like right underneath where the ball dropped. And she was so terrified. She was like, my kids are going to New York City. Oh my gosh. And so this is actually where she thought we lived. We do not live here. Some of you coming out of the Christmas season may think New York City, and you may think Buddy the Elf. We do not know Buddy the Elf, nor have I ever seen Buddy the Elf, but I've seen a lot of other people dressed up as Buddy the Elf. Actually, our family, we live here. This is our street over on the left-hand side, and 220 East 87th in New York City is our apartment. So we've actually been living in New York City for almost 2 years. Before that, we lived in North Dallas, Texas, and so we recently made a shift from the south to the north. It's been good. I like it. Do you consider yourself like Yankees in Pennsylvania or no? No, okay. I'm not even going to go there. All right, so anyways, we'll keep moving on. To get a little bit more of a feel about where our family actually lives, the picture on the left is my middle daughter, Hensley, going into her elementary school, PS 527. The picture on the right is the courtyard or the play area of our oldest daughter's, Hadley, her middle school. So this is kind of where she goes to middle school. This is kind of the open area where they have lunch and recess. And then to the left is the building in which she attends school. And this is my littlest daughter, Hazel. This is us walking to school actually this morning, and her school is right there on the right. So you see it, we're about to go in. Now, coming back from Hazel's school, I like to stop off at my favorite bodega called Bagels and More. And there I am this morning grabbing a bacon, egg, and cheese on croissant. With the fellow that makes it behind the counter. He's becoming a good friend. I really like him because he calls me boss. Nobody else in my life calls me boss, but he makes me feel good. And he says, what do you want, boss? And I'm like, I love this place. I'm going to tip you even more. So this is a little bit of where we live. This is our family. This is a picture of our family. Our oldest, Hadley. Is in sixth grade. Any sixth graders here? Any other sixth graders? Okay, a few of you. Hi, sixth graders. I know your pain, all right? Parents, I know your pain as well. Our middle daughter is Hensley, and she is in the fourth grade. Do we have any fourth graders here? A few fourth graders? All right. And then our littlest is Hazel, and she is 4 and a half and in pre-K. Do we have anybody in pre-K? You're in pre-K? I love it. Anybody else in pre-K? There's one back there. Who else? Okay, very good. So this is our family. And our family has been trying to join God in his mission in our neighborhood in New York City. We are trying to live, as Chris said, as everyday missionaries. Now, many of you, when you hear the word missionary, you probably think something other than what it is that we are oftentimes talking about and what we're going to talk about over the weekend. When you hear the word missionary, how many of you think of something that happens on a different continent, somewhere else in the world? Anybody? Anybody? I grew up thinking I never want to be a missionary. Because the missionaries would come back and we would have a dedicated Sunday night service at our church. They would tell us all of these horrible stories about the places they lived and the things they ate. And I said, I will never be a missionary. But here we are. We are all everyday missionaries. And so for us, though, as we begin the journey and talking about what does it mean to be an everyday missionary, I would tell you the most significant thing that's happened in our family's life. The most significant starting place on this journey for us has been a radical reorientation around the Jesus of the Gospels. When we begin to see Jesus a little bit differently, we begin to see all of life differently. So, I know it's getting late. And so we're going to do a little activity to get our kind of our blood flowing, all right? So we're not just sitting here getting bored and tired and ready for bed, some of you older folks, all right? So this is what we're going to do. Because what is necessary is a radical reorientation around Jesus, we've got to actually think about Jesus. We are going to do that now. We are going to take some time and think about the things that we like about Jesus. All right, kids, this is for you. Adults, this is for you. If you're in between, this is for you, whoever though you are. We are going to think about the person of Jesus, his character, or his personality traits, or just simply the things that you love about Jesus. Can everybody just think for just a second? All right? And what we're going to do is we are going to either write it out, or we are going to color it, or we have two stations of Play-Doh in the back. You are going to get up and you are going to go create it or something that resembles it. All right? Now, I will tell you, old folk, you can't just opt out to go write it on one of these four little pieces of paper. All right? Let's be a little bit more creative than that. So, you can color something or write something or draw something on the paper over here and the paper over there, and there are two cups with crowns in it on each side, or you can get up and you can go to the back and you can create something that resembles something you love about Jesus. And then we have a few facilitators in the back that when we're done, they're going to share with us some of your creations. And even while you're doing that, they're going to be asking you what you're creating, okay? So we're going to take 10 minutes to do this. And it'll be a little bit of chaos, and then I will give you kind of a countdown of 5 minutes left, 3 minutes left, 2 minutes left. All right, so go. Very fantastic. All right. I would love to hear, wherever, go right ahead. I would love to hear some of what either has been written or some of the designs that have been made. So, you don't have to read everything, but over here at this side, you want to go ahead. Where? Oh, there. Perfect. You want to just share with us some of the things that have been written or drawn or created.
Okay, so right here, Jesus was the radiance of glory, and here it's Jesus is the true light.
Nice.
Jesus cares about everyone.
Love
it. He died on the cross for us.
Fantastic.
And over here, he is always there for us, and he has overcome the world.
Perfect. That's great. Thank you. All right, then we'll just keep walking around. How about there in that back Play-Doh station? Let's hear about what some of the things were that people created that reflected Jesus. Go ahead.
Okay, so here we have, two people, loving, showing how Jesus was, loving and caring. Here we have a cross and a heart. Here we have, Jesus holding the world in his hand. Here's a cross, a heart, and the tomb with the stone rolling. Here's another cross, and then we have Jesus on the cross. And this is the hand showing, that he wasn't afraid to, touch, leopards. And...
Oh, that's great. Very creative. I love that.
And then we have a cross and a crown with a heart. And then we have a crown of thorns, God and a sun showing he's the light of the world. And then we have another sun showing that he's the light of the world and a crown for
awesome.
King.
That's great. Great job. Good job. You guys, if you haven't seen them on your way out in a little bit later, take a good look. They're really, really good. All right, what about over on this table? What do we have?
Hey, we got one question over here, actually.
Yes.
We got a pair of glasses we'd like an interpretation for.
A pair of glasses? Who
did
the glasses?
I feel like there's a story there.
There is a story. Real glasses or Play-Doh glasses?
Play-Doh glasses.
Oh, okay, very good. Let's hear what the...
I was curious to know what people would say. So I was trying to figure out a way for myself to say, what do we love about Jesus? I really appreciated about Jesus how he saw people for who they really are. He sees them as children of God. He sees potential, thinking of the woman at the well, thinking how related to the tax collectors, that he would see them not as the rest of the world sees them, but as how God sees them.
Beautiful. Love that. Good stuff. Thank you.
All right, well, back at this table, we got some more really good artwork. We got Jesus walking on water.
Wow.
Right here. We have a heart that someone thought of when they thought of Jesus. We have a king's crown here.
Very
we
good.
We have a family bound together by the love of Jesus.
Close enough.
All right, I got a nod there, yep. We got the lion and the lamb.
Wow.
Laying together here. That was pretty cool.
Good
this
stuff.
Is just a nice portrait picture of Jesus. Looks pretty radiant with light coming out. This is a worm, and it has to do with fishing. So being fishers. So worm fishers, I thought that was really creative.
Well done.
And we have here a bird, and when I asked the young lady about that, she talked about how Jesus is like the mother hen wanting to protect us and put her wings around us.
Love
so
that.
That was cool. We got a heart with Jesus. We got another lion.
Awesome. Good stuff.
And that rounds up the back table here.
All right, and then just a few things over here. If there was something that hasn't been said.
We have someone trace their hand here and wrote God's hand on earth.
Oh, that's cool.
God's hand on earth. There's a lot of the light of the world. He says artistic creator of beauty. So that's good. He's a creator, an artist. Here we have Jesus and then a picture of us as God's children.
Perfect.
Kind of standing together next to the cross.
Love it.
His compassion, so what someone drew a picture of here. His presence, this person wrote, I love that he is always with us. And then here is a picture of bread that says relationship underneath it, which is just about how he, broke bread with people and had relationships.
This is great. Give yourself a hand, you guys. The creative juices. Usually when Chris talks on a Sunday morning, you're, half asleep. You actually got after it today. So this is great. Now, these are all wonderful, beautiful, true, and meaningful things about Jesus. He is the one in which we're trying to orient our life around. About 11 years ago, 10 or 11 years ago, our family had a radical paradigm shift around Jesus. And these are all things that we would commonly say about him. But one of the things that we begin to really see in Jesus as we looked through the Gospels was that Jesus was all of these things, but in addition to all of these things, that Jesus was, in fact, a missionary. Now, I bet we don't tend to think about Jesus being a missionary very often. Now, I'll share this and talk about this with pastors and church planters all around the country, and we do something very similar and ask them to think about all of the things they think about when they think about Jesus. And rarely do we tend to think about Jesus as a missionary. Now, what is a missionary? A missionary is someone who has been sent on mission. So there are two important parts, or actually three important parts. It's a person, and they have been sent, and they are on mission. Three very, very important parts. And when we look at Jesus, we see clearly that Jesus was, in fact, all of those things. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory like the Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. And in the verse that Chris read earlier, John 20, verse 21, this might be one of my most favorite verses in all the New Testament. And Jesus is there talking after he had risen from the dead, and he said, "Peace be with you, just as the Father has sent me, I am now sending you." You see, Jesus had been sent on a mission to really join God in his mission to rescue the world and to rescue his people and to put the world back together again, to make the world look more like heaven than earth, to make it look more like the kingdom of God than it did earth. And this is how he lived his life. Now, if we can say something is true about Jesus, because Jesus is like God, we can also say something is true about God. You see, God is also a missionary God. God not only was sent in the form of Jesus, from the beginning of time, God had been sending. So I want you to think back in your Old Testament, what you know of the Old Testament, and I want you to begin in your mind to just slowly think about all of the things that God did that showed sending. Just think for a second. Some of them are really quick, probably to your mind. Very early on, God sent Moses. God sent the Israelites. We can keep going and we begin to see that God also sent judges and kings and prophets and rulers. And the end of the Old Testament, in this book called Malachi, God says that he is going to keep sending. In fact, he makes a promise to all of his people to say, "I am not only the sending God, but I will continue to send, and I myself will be sent." So, here was the paradigm shift for our family. The starting place for living as everyday missionaries was beginning to realize that our God is a missionary God. If our God is a missionary God, we too are missionaries. Living as an everyday missionary must begin with an identity. It must begin with us realizing that whoever you are, whether you're in pre-K, or whether you're in fourth grade, or whether you're in sixth grade, or whether you're in your mid-20s, or whether you're in your mid-30s, or whether you're in your mid-70s, you are a missionary. I love this quote. I'm going to ask my daughter to come up and see if she would read it for me as we close this session here in just a moment. Okay. You want to read that? I think it's on. All right, I think he's turning it on for you.
There you go. Does it work?
All right. She's going to read two quotes, and I'm going to put them up on the screen so you can also read along with her. Okay, go ahead, Ben.
Sentness is not just for missionaries to foreign lands. The shift is for all of us, students and workers, parents and kids, professionals and laborers, artists and accountants, moms and mechanics. We are all sent into our world. We are given to those we relate to. We are commissioned to our workplace and schools. We are placed in our streets. When our imaginations grasp our sadness, our life stories take on a whole new, dangerous meaning.
One more. Go ahead.
Being sent is not an optional extra to the Christian life. It is the core of who we are. We are sent because Jesus was. We don't wait for life to give us more margin for mission. Being sent by Jesus is not about waiting for a future opportunity. It does not happen only when we hop on a plane. If we are sent where we are, then we stay with it and discern how we can work with God, with what God is doing around and in and through us. We don't wait for more money, the promotion, the right situation, the ideal job. Don't overthink it. Don't wait and look for something that will win you a Nobel Prize. Our mission is often right in front of us, our street, neighborhood, workplace, or city.
Right. Good job, Hensley. Thank you so much. I love that quote. You see, if missionary means that it is somebody who has been sent on mission, and if we are in fact missionaries, we have been sent on mission, each of us. And if we have been sent, that means then that there is a people and or a place in which you have been sent to. One of the phrases that we say often as our family, it's not so much that you're being sent somewhere, although we realize that happens sometimes. An overwhelming majority of us have already been sent to our workspaces, to our neighborhoods, to our third spaces, to our schools, sports teams that we play on, to the families on the sports team that we visit with and hang out with multiple times in the week, that you and I have been sent. And if we have been sent, we must answer the question, to whom have you been sent? I think, kiddos, I think the most important question that you will be able to answer in your life will not only be, what does it mean to follow Jesus, but also, to whom have you been sent? Because if we are Jesus followers, that means we are to interact with people in the world. Adults, moms, dads, one of the most important questions that you and I will ever be able to answer as followers of Jesus is, to whom have we been sent? Because living as Jesus is not just something we sit back and observe. It's an active participation. It means that we are engaging with the types of people that Jesus engaged with. It means we are hanging out with the types of people that Jesus hung out with. It means that we are allowing him to be our example and our guide. And so for us, over the next 2 or 3 days, and we're going to have lots of opportunities to discuss this and dialogue over this even tomorrow, even more, is I would like for us to begin to pray and think and consider and try to figure out how we might answer the question, to whom have I been sent? Is it a coworker? Is it a neighbor? Is it a family that goes to my child's school? Is it a classmate? Who is it that God is asking you participate in his mission in and around and alongside? Now, I want to give you just a few hints on how you begin to think about who you've been sent to. Really easy. What environments or people groups do you already inhabit? Where do you already spend a majority of your time? As a family, if you're here as a family, Where does your family already inhabit? Where are the places that your family spends a majority of your time? What environments do you run into and rub shoulders with those who are not like you? And I would say, if you are a family, this is what we've done as a family. If you are a family and you've got a mom and a dad, or you're a single parent and you've got kiddos, one of the things that we've done is we've asked, where is the overlap in my life? Where is the overlap in my wife's life? And where is the overlap in our kids' lives? And in this season of our lives, we can tell you that our family has been sent to 220 East 87th Street. It's there in our apartment building of 36 units that we are trying to actively join Jesus in his mission. It's there we're asking, how are we good news? It's there we're praying for people in our apartment building. It's there that we're trying to show acts of kindness and love. It's there that we're trying to announce what it actually means to follow Jesus and the good news of Jesus. It's there that we're trying to live it out. We're not living it out everywhere, but it's where as a family, we can collectively do this. I would say if you're going to answer the question as a family, you need to find one place that your family overlaps and say, collectively as a family, this is where we are going to join Jesus in his mission. If you're a single adult and you are here, or if you're a great, let's say, yeah, if you're a single adult here, I would begin to process this question and say, are there other people, and are there other followers of Christ that can join me in this space? And if not, what would it look like for us to encourage one another in that? If you're older and your kids are out of the house and you're kind of in the empty nest stage of your life, I think the question is very similar. Where do you and your spouse, where is it that you spend a majority of your time? Because you see, the beautiful thing is that now in the apartment building that we live in, we see the same people every single day. So every single day we have the opportunity over and over and over and over and over to paint a large picture of the good news of Jesus, all the beautiful things that were written and drawn and created. We have a chance to show that to the people that we rub shoulders with. So this is what I want us to do as we close, just for a minute. I would like, if you're here, kiddos, with a family member or a parent, could you go find your family member or parent? Your empty nesters, could you find your fellow empty nester? If you're a single adult in here, Colin, would you be the hand raised for the single adults? Okay, Colin, if you're a single adult, any other single adults in the room? A few? Okay, why don't you guys huddle around Colin for just a few moments? Kiddos, I want you to go find your families. If you're here just as a spouse, spend time with that spouse. If you're here with your kiddos and your family, spend time with them. I want you to take 5 minutes, and then we're going to close and pray. But I want you to ask the question, where do we spend our time? Because being missionary is not passive. It's not, this is who I am. It actually means engaging a group of people. It means you've been sent to someone. I would like for you to take just 5 minutes, and I would like for you to think, who are the people, or where are the places that we spend the majority of our time where we're going to rub shoulders and run into people that are not like us, that may not be Christ followers. Okay? Could you do that for me? And then in 5 minutes, I'll come back and I'll close us. Does that sound good? Okay, you guys. Just wherever you're at, if you want to just stand, or if you don't feel like you have to go back to those, you can stay with your folks for just a moment. All right. Over the next 3 sessions, we're going to talk about how, in fact, do we live in the places we've been sent. And really, as we live out our sentness, it will be the very thing that catalyzes our growth as followers of Jesus. So next session is tomorrow morning is all about growing as followers of Jesus, and we'll talk a bit about that. The next session after that, the third one, will be called Living as Sent Ones, and then the next one will be called Flourishing in Community. Really about how do we sustain this lifestyle and this way of living over the course of the next several years of our life. And so this was just a kind of an intro to get you to think. But more than anything, I hope you slowly will begin to shift the way you see God. And when you begin to see God as a missionary, you can't help but look at the Bible in a whole new way. I even think about all the wonderful attributes of God that we all mention and characteristics. And the reality is that unless God was ascending God, we would never experience any of those wonderful, beautiful attributes. It would never have been extended to us because of his missionary nature. And as we begin to see ourselves as made in God's image, as followers of Jesus, hopefully we will begin to see ourselves too, also as missionaries, as sent ones. And that we will know that being sent as Jesus always means that we are sent to a people or to a place. We're not just sent vaguely, not to anyone in particular, but we will always be sent to a people and to a place. And so continue to talk about this as a family. It's been incredibly helpful for our family over the last 10 years to talk about this. It's allowed us to really begin to figure out how we sustain as followers of Jesus. So keep talking about it, write it down. We're gonna do an activity tomorrow morning even that's gonna come back to this topic and specifically about the people that are in those places, all right? So let's take a moment and let's just pray. Father, I just want to say thank you for all the people that are here this evening. God, thank you for all the children, all the teenagers, all the adults. Thank you for the elders in this room and in our midst. Thank you for the wisdom of children and adults alike. God, thank you that even tonight, as families, as individuals, as single adults, as empty nesters, that God, wherever we're at in our journeys, that you are inviting us in the same way as Jesus to participate with you in your mission in the places we find ourselves, in our neighborhoods, in our workspaces, at our schools, the places we hang out. And so, God, over the next couple of days, will you help us as families begin to think about what it looks like to join you in that mission? We pray these things in your name. Amen.